WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. After Stuart Hall School laid off a number of teachers, some of them formed a new school in Stanton. We explore the history and power of black poetry in Virginia. And Acoustic Cafe host Tina Owens gets Trent Wagler of the Steel Wheels to talk about the new podcast, We Made You a Song, produced in collaboration with WMRA. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, November 24. Stuart Hall School in Stanton is phasing out its elementary grades, but a group of teachers has joined together to open their own school to fill the need. WMRA's Mike Tripp reports.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete.
Students at Anna's House in Stanton practice counting in Spanish.
Anna's House is an early elementary program that includes ages 2.5 through third grade.
Executive Director Christy Crittenden sees their private school as an essential service.
We have gotten our child care license from the Department of Social Services so that when children attend here, if the governor has to kind of limit things, we can stay open as a child care program. But at the same time, we are in elementary school.
Christy Holland teaches kindergarten at the school. She remembers when Stuart Hall Lower School closed due to COVID-19 back in May.
Several of us teachers got together and we decided that we would like to open our own school. We just knew that this was not the time to drop the ball on our students, that they need us now more than ever.
Enrollment is currently 26 with as many as 45 expected this year.
We have also committed to adding a grade up every year. So next year we'll be expanding to fourth grade, and then the following year to fifth grade.
For WMRA News, I'm Mike Tripp.
Americans have become much more aware of the danger of concussions in recent years. Now the University of Virginia is working on a way to diagnose brain injuries sooner and to monitor patients' recovery. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Houseman reports.
Head injuries are commonly associated with football and other sports, but a bruise to the brain can happen in less dramatic ways, and 80% go undiagnosed. Now, a team of scientists at the University of Virginia is working on ways to identify subtle changes in the way we move and behave, possible warning signs of traumatic brain injury, and evidence of recovery in patients.
Really what we want to know is, when do they return to normal? Because right now there's no objective data about that.
Professor Laura Barnes and her colleagues are using smartphone apps to track sleep, movement, and other behaviors in students, many of them athletes. Should any of them suffer concussions, her team can compare data from before and after. And using wearable devices such as smartwatches and rings, they can also track heart rate, body temperature, and other biomarkers, then use computers and machine learning to look for patterns that could signal the early stages of sickness.
Ideally, we want to be able to detect symptoms to be able to help people get interventions earlier.
The UVA researchers also send periodic surveys to study subjects on their smartphones or watches to see how they're feeling and what they're doing. She says this research could prove especially valuable in treating social anxiety and other chronic conditions. I'm Sandy Houseman.
Due to pandemic-related restrictions, commercial drivers in Virginia will now be allowed to renew their licenses online. The Department of Motor Vehicles announced the change on Monday. Commercial driver's license holders previously were required to visit DMV offices in person to renew their credentials. The change in policy comes as the DMV struggles to clear a large backlog of in-person appointments caused by office closures during the first few months of the pandemic. DMV centers are now open by appointment only, but many offices are booked 3 months out. The arts keep thriving, even in a time of social upheaval and a pandemic. This year, there have been several new volumes, anthologies, and collections of black poetry. WMRA's Jason Barr looks at the relevance of such work today and throughout our history.
This year, the Furious Flower Poetry Center released its third anthology, Furious Flower, Seeding the Future of African American Poetry. Dr. Joanne Gabin founded the center at James Madison University in 2004, 10 years after the first Furious Flower Conference in 1994. She co-edited the latest volume and says this collection continues a trend as old as the country itself.
We were brought here not under our own will, but forced here through slavery. And once here, the power to voice our opinions was taken away. We were not allowed to read. We were not allowed to write. We were silenced in a very real way. It is the history of Black people in this country to see their power taken away from them and getting their power back through writing, through the exercise of creating poetry.
Lauren Elaine is the assistant director of the Furious Flower Poetry Center and an associate professor of English at JMU. She co-edited the volume along with Dr. Gabin.
What Black poetry brings to American letters is testimony of the side of America that America still doesn't want to acknowledge was there.
The University of Virginia is also home to a prolific poet in this tradition. Kiki Petrosino, a poetry professor at UVA, recently released her latest volume of poetry, White Blood, A Lyric of Virginia.
The center is always there. I think that in the culture, we tend to narrate the experience that people of color have and the experience that mixed race or biracial people have as that of being not able to fit in either world. And my work, not just in White Blood, but in all of the poetry that I write, is about making explicit for the reader the very real sense that I have that I am a whole and integrated person on the inside.
And in this era of the rising visibility of white supremacy in the United States, the sharing of different viewpoints through poetry remains important. Gabin reminds us all of one important truth that Black poetry has to share.
Black poets have always known that. Black people are not inferior to anyone on this earth. What comes next is an opportunity for poets to explore.
Petrosino emphasizes the long history embedded in the rise of white supremacist thought in the United States.
The tendency is to announce that as a now, suddenly, you know, these things are happening. But I would like to counter that with the word always, that these things and these tensions have always been with us. This violence has always been under the surface.
And as Elaine reminds us, Black poets will continue to respond.
And so there is no new thing about Black writing responding to white supremacy. Black writing, Black poetry, Black literature, Black culture exists in spite of white supremacy, challenging white supremacy, confronting white supremacy, exposing white supremacy. That's what it has been doing. Because white supremacy seeks to erase us, and we write ourselves constantly and repeatedly into existence and resistance to that.
Petrosino says the arts, and especially poetry, remain a positive force for free expression and social change.
That's what poetry does. Poetry breaks silence. The world of contemporary American poetry is a small world. And I think that what's happening is that little by little it's getting bigger. And social media has made a doorway and a window into certain conversations and has brought some of the questions that poets are asking into popular discourse. And poets are public intellectuals. And globally speaking, poets around the world are public intellectuals.
As Gabin says, poetry is part of a larger artistic effort to tell our stories.
Whether it's music, you know, the visual arts, the performing arts, certainly the literary arts, affirm life. So for me, art, and especially poetry, affirms life.
For WMRA News, I'm Jason Barr.
Learn more about the poetry and next Monday's Furious Flower virtual event at WMRA.org and on the app. Finally today, WMRA recently teamed up with the Steel Wheels to create a new podcast. It's called We Made You a Song, and that pretty much tells you what the podcast is about. Each episode tells the story of a song commissioned by a fan, the songwriting process, and then the final result. WMRA's Tina Owens recently spoke with the group's lead singer and host of the podcast, Trent Wagler. She asked him to describe where the idea came from.
Yeah, it was sort of in that early part of the pandemic when it was becoming clear that things were going to be shut down maybe for a little while, and our touring was shut down, and we were trying to think of ways we could stay busy, stay creative, thinking about songs as ways to possibly create a new kind of connection that also meets that need or hope for us to be able to be creative. It turned us from like trying to create connection with 1,000 people at a festival to like pinpointing one and saying, tell me your story and we'll try to sing a song back that reflects it back to you.
On an airplane over the Midwest in a snowstorm, connecting in Chicago. I didn't want to come down.
Well, I think every songwriter has their own unique process in writing songs, but in this case, you were working with ideas and stories from other people. What were the challenges of taking someone else's ideas and turning them into a song for you and your band?
I mean, I think that the biggest challenges were trying to get out of my own way. My fears and insecurities would immediately reveal themselves as like, oh no, what have I signed up for? Who am I to try to put words to someone else's story and they're going to hate it? And just all of the negative self-talk that any of us could do. So I needed to get out of my own way in that way and just sort of trust your own intuition.
All of the songs are so unique, and it is fun and touching to hear the stories that are behind each song, and that's where the podcast comes in. The podcast is called We Made You a Song. It's actually a collaboration between the Steel Wheels and WMRA. Our general manager, Matt Bingay, does production for the podcast. Maybe what have you learned about yourself in going through this process, especially the podcast?
There's a lot talked about the loss of connection and all the losses of 2020. And I think for me, maybe what I've learned about myself is how much I love stories and storytelling. And to me, the losses of 2020 were mostly of quantity, you know, the amount of people, the amount of places, and the amounts of experiences that were missed and lost and shut down are many. And so this experience of turning instead to, you know, when you don't get that chance to be on a festival stage and play for 1,000 people, instead turning to one person and saying, tell me your story.
Lucy, Lucy, today is your day. Lucy, oh Lucy, take my breath away.
I do see our music and what I try to do with songwriting. I feel so kind of bashful to say this because it feels a little bit self-indulgent or putting myself on a pedestal in some way, but I do see it as something that I want it to be useful to people. I don't want it to just be a pretty fleeting thing, but I want my true mission or hope for the music that we make is that it deeply becomes a part of people's experiences and it can actually in some small way be helpful and useful in their little journey wherever they're at. And so in that sense, I think this whole project felt like it had a real mission to it in the sense of telling real stories and trying to hand those off to the listener.
Trent Wagler from the Steel Wheels. The new recording is called Everyone a Song, Volume 1. The podcast, We Made You a Song, is available through the WMRA app, or you can search for it wherever you get your podcasts. Trent, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Tina. Thank you very much.
To hear a longer version of that interview and for episodes of the new podcast, visit WMRA.org or listen with the app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected. Enjoy your Tuesday.